Hola. Sorry, that's about all I know about Spanish. I'm very happy to be here and want to take a moment to thank Simona and everybody who is participating to this fantastic organization and energy that is going on here. I'm particularly happy to be here because of what is happening with the 15M movement and all that started here in the streets. That is, I think, a very, very important and meaningful movement, and I will get back to that. The point I will be making here is maybe very familiar to most of you. My point is that the infrastructure for the future of our societies is the internet. You know that. This infrastructure, that is also the infrastructure for your social movement and for some global movement to come, is the internet. And that's obvious to say that. But at some point, we have to ask ourselves, what is this internet? What is its very nature? What makes this internet be such a perfect tool for what we want to do and for how we want to change society? So, what is the nature of this infrastructure and why it is under attack today? And what can we do as citizens to try to protect it? Well, the internet is great because it's universal. The universality of the internet is its core, fundamental characteristics. What I mean by universality is that whether you're in Granada or in Canada or in Guatemala or in Guadalajara or anywhere in the world, you have access to the very same content, service, and application that we call the internet. It is one and only internet for everyone. This is this universality that makes it the platform for expression, for innovation, for experimentation, and for sharing. Given its definition, the internet belongs to everyone. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to Telefonica or to AT&T or to Cisco. It literally belongs to us, as what economists would describe a common good, a common, something that we all share. And so, if we all share the ownership of this concept of an infrastructure, it also means that we all share a responsibility towards it, a responsibility to protect it and to keep it like it is today, to keep it universal, open, and free. This notion of universality and openness is what we call net neutrality. Is the fact that everyone should be granted the right to access any content, service, or application on the internet, and everyone should have the guarantee to be able to publish some content, service, and application. This is an extremely important debate going on. I don't know how it is going on at this moment in Spain, but in the Netherlands, in Belgium, and in France, we are having at the moment vibrant debate about it. And it's indeed on the European level that something should be done. We think that there should be a law guaranteeing this net neutrality. So when Telefonica says to you, oh, well, now you won't be able to use Skype. Or, yeah, peer-to-peer will be slowed down. Or this website, you know, the pirate thing, nah. Okay, it won't be accessible. When one operator does these kind of things, we think it should just be illegal. That's one point. So we have a responsibility towards the universality of the internet, towards protecting this net neutrality. It could be done through a law like the one I just described. But it's not only that. Given this concept of one universal space that belongs to all of us, we have to keep in mind that one restriction to internet somewhere is a restriction to the global internet. When one person somewhere in the world has his or her internet connection restricted, it is us, the internet, who is being restricted. So this is really already a global concept and a global network. And what we are seeing in the streets here and Place Tahrir and on Times Square is something that begins to resemble to a global movement. So a global infrastructure with global movements and people calling for global changes. Well, actually there are global threats to this global infrastructure. And so this is for the not so nice part of what I have to tell you. So far we were in the land of the Care Bears, you know, the purple hearts and rainbows and the unicorns and all. But now here come the bad guys. Restrictions to access. Restrictions can take many forms, but in the end, and actually it took me years to work on those issues to get to understand this point, that it is the very same machines that are at the core of the networks, that are at the nodes of the networks, that can be programmed in various ways. The machines that are at every node of the network can be programmed, for instance, by China to do its political censorship of the network. They can be programmed by Vodafone to ban BitTorrent or block access to the Pirate Bay. And they can be used by Vodafone to hurt that net neutrality for commercial purpose, like banning Skype in order to sell you minutes of communications. And they can be programmed to restrict your access in the name of copyright. And you of course, you all fought against the Sindel law. And I feel so close to this fight because, you know, in France we had the Adopi fight. That was very similar to what happened here. But now the people of the copyright are also deploying a global tactics and a global strategy. Actually, they've been going global before us. They got IFPI, the Worldwide Lobby for Recording Industry. MPAA, the Motion Picture Association of America, is also global for a long time. And you've heard of WIPO, you know, the branch of WTO that is used to the World Intellectual Property Organization, where those issues are supposed to be debated. Well, for the last 10 years, WIPO have been stuck because countries of the South, countries of the global South, countries like Brazil, India, African countries, Latin American countries, went to WIPO and say, whoa, 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 wait. For us, sharing means something. Some parts of our economics are built on sharing, and you're offering us the model, you know, the copyright Taliban model, where everything is protection, enforcement, protection, enforcement. And so countries of the global South went to WIPO along the years and say, wait, let's think of something else. Let's not go all the way towards this. So what did the global lobbies of entertainment? They said, okay, fuck it. Fuck the global organization that we are supposed to be part of. Let's invent something new. They don't want our thing to get through. Let's invent something new. And so this is the story of ACTA. How many of you have heard about ACTA before? That's quite a lot. That's impressive. So ACTA stands for the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement. But as Richard would put it, it's the Anti-Citizen Tyranny Agreement. Could fit very well. So it's the idea of 39 countries, including the 27 of the European Union. According to the US Trade Representative, it's between like-minded countries, so countries who are agreeing from the start, that will sit on some table, comfortable table, with no public oversight, in secret, for some years, and negotiate together what should be copyright enforcement and what should be done with the internet, what kind of restriction could be done to the internet in the name of fighting copyright, patents and trademarks. So, I think at this stage, ACTA, along with the threat on net neutrality done by the operators, is one of the biggest threats to our global internet and to the universality of this global internet, therefore to our ability to build any kind of global movement. To go a little bit into the detail of the process and of the text, the ACTA has been negotiated for 3 years and have been finalized. So the text of ACTA is final now. It will be presented in front of the European Parliament in the next month. It will probably be early 2012. It cannot be earlier than January. It may be February, it may be March or later. But you'll hear about it. And we will all count on your help to get it kicked. So this is the most important thing you have to remember about this, that we have at this stage one chance of kicking ACTA out. It is in the European Parliament. We have won tough battles in the European Parliament before. So this is a battle we can win. And when I mean winning, it means that winning, you know? Like, if we participate and if we deploy some energy, we can win that. So, to give you in a nutshell, the core reason to oppose ACTA and why ACTA will fundamentally hurt the core concept and the core architecture of the internet, and why ACTA is unacceptable per se. ACTA is not only a trade agreement. ACTA contains a part about criminal sanctions. Yes, criminal sanction, prison. Countries have been negotiating prison. They've been negotiating criminal sanctions, which usually should come in front of parliaments, with elected representatives, with debates, with amendments, that kind of things you usually have in a democracy. Well, the ACTA people just negotiated new criminal sanctions. So by itself, this is enough to ask for it to be rejected, because this is contrary to the way the European Union should be functioning. So those criminal sanctions, they are described in the Article 23, say, quote, I will start the quote later. It says that the signatory countries of ACTA should make sure that, quote, criminal sanctions are available for aiding and abetting infringement on a commercial scale. Aiding and abetting infringement on a commercial scale. And then you ask yourself, what is a commercial scale? A very good question. So far for criminal law, there was the notion of intentionality. If I can prove that you really wanted to steal this car or handbag, you need to prove that you wanted to do it in order to make you guilty. That's the intentionality. With this notion of a commercial scale, you don't even need to look at the individuals. All it needs is to be big. And you know that on the internet, anything can be big. The Pirate Bay is big, therefore it's a commercial scale. 1 million people sharing one file, it's a commercial scale, right? So anything big on the internet can fall under it. And then is this notion of aiding and abetting. Oh, you're Telefonica. Okay, let's pretend I'm Universal. I'm Universal and you're Telefonica. Hello, Telefonica. Those people are accessing the Pirate Bay. The Pirate Bay is a commercial scale, indeed. You're aiding and abetting infringement on a commercial scale. So what do you prefer? I take you to court and I kill you? Or you take voluntary measures? Measures to deter further infringement, like, say, I don't know, censorship? Like filtering access to the Pirate Bay? What do you prefer, Telefonica? So ACTA, under the threat of those overly broad criminal sanctions, brings private censorship of the internet, turns every actor of the internet potentially into a private copyright police and a private copyright judge. I mean, everyone, every access provider, every service provider like Google or M-1, any service provider also, any hosting provider can fall under this. So I think my 15 minutes are almost over, and I hope you will have understood how global of a threat this is to what is probably the most precious tool we have between our hands for bringing change to society and making the sharing the norm again. So that's basically the end, and I hope that you understand also that everybody can and must participate, and that this is the only condition for us in the end to win, and that this is the only acceptable option. Thank you.
Pues gracias, Jeremy. Creo que ha sido muy claro, muy didáctico y viene en el punto porque, como veis, ACTA es una legislación que muy pronto ya, de alguna manera, se va a implementar, a lo largo de enero, febrero, marzo. Es una mañana ágil, pero no tan ágil como para que no haya preguntas. Entonces, vamos a dejar como un cuartito de hora, ahora antes de 10 minutos, para alguna pregunta. Y Francisco tiene una pregunta.
Hi, Jeremy. Well, I could speak in French to you, but for the easiest way to for everybody understand, I will do it in English. Well, ACTA is one thing, but you know that Americans are already preparing the IP Protect Act that's now transformed to e-parasites. So ACTA will be in some way irrelevant because America is still going on its way to implement their own measures that will affect the internet equally, even if ACTA is passed or not passed. So what can we do if America still go on with their plans to make a big firewall on the internet and then can bring down any com, any net, any DNS, stop bank transactions for websites. ACTA, okay, it's important, but they are following their own planning independently from ACTA.
Okay, that's a very good and tough question. First of all, this Protect IP Act and the new version that came out from the House some days ago is already an implementation of what ACTA will be. So reading the US text and being so scared make you think this is what would become the norm if ACTA is adopted in the EU. Well, actually, it's a bit more than that. It's a mix between ACTA and between what Joe Lieberman and others managed to make against WikiLeaks, by having any kind of private companies, not only internet actors, to do private censorship. So it goes one step beyond ACTA already, but it is in the very same logic of putting enforcement in the hands of corporate actors. So the question on one hand is, what can we do on this side of the Atlantic against it? Well, I truly believe in what some theorized as the boomerang effect, that something happening on one side of the world can have an effect on the other side of the world. Actually, and we'll hear about the Senate in Mexico, when the Senate in Mexico said, fuck you, eh, to ACTA. Well, this can have an impact on the European Parliament if we manage to use that properly. So I believe that our political actions here can have an impact on the way civil society reacts in the US. And you have an idea that the Occupy Wall Street thing didn't come totally out of the blue. It was inspired by what is going on here and what is going on in the Arab countries and so on. So we can have some global impact with our action to some extent. And we need, the same way, the US people to be able to have an impact on the EU debate on ACTA. But beyond that, just consider your question reversed. if we kick ACTA out, what impact could it have on the US debate? If we kick ACTA out, this is the biggest symbol in the field of copyright we can build onto. This is the biggest, bigger than the software patents fight, bigger than the Cinde, the Adobe, and all this together, bigger than the hijacking of the telecoms package. If we manage to kick that out with a clear message, don't mess with our fucking internet, then the door will be open to promote a positive agenda to the EU institutions. Then the revision of the IPRED directive won't be about blind enforcement and more criminal sanction. Then we can talk again about exceptions and about the right to share. And this, I think, will inevitably have an impact on the debate, even in the US.
Alguna? José Luis.
Hi, Jeremy. I actually wanted to ask you not about ACTA, so forgive me, this is a bit off topic, but about Adobe. Which is one day pass and mostly fail. So our interpretation from here is that Adobe hasn't mostly changed the status quo of things in the any front. So I wanted to maybe if you could elaborate a little bit on that. Also because in a way the failure of Adobe is the failure of that wave of legislation, the three strikes law or the Cinde law here. And actually I agree that probably the next intervention goes to the level of infrastructure, which is something that happens not only with ACTA, but with other kinds of, and the promotion of walled gardens, which are all over the place. But I think it would be nice if you could give us a contextualized interpretation of the landscape after Adobe in France.
A short answer in the form of a troll would stand in two words, epic fail. But for a longer detailed answer, well, it's been a failure because, well, for 12 million euros a year, all they did so far is sending 600,000 emails, and nobody was got to a court, nobody was disconnected. So the private police of the copyright mafia signaled 22 million infringement, and 10 people will soon be heard by the Adobe to maybe got in front of a court and maybe blah, blah, blah. So 22 million means the infringement is, what they call infringement, is pervasive. And so if you look at the figures, you think it's okay. But in the end, the whole Adobe is an intimidation campaign. You know, it's like bullying. And you're doing something wrong. Stop. And they think it will work and make people buy more. That's their bet. But actually what we see in France, and we didn't think of that, we think of every possible scenario. We thought that we did so much on the political level that it would be reasonable and people would have fun of it. But in practice, when people receive these emails, many of them are afraid. And what we see in France is a decrease of the use of peer-to-peer networks. People still access digital works, but they stop public file sharing. People go massively to direct download website, and they go massively to streaming website. The impact of it is terrible for the network. Peer-to-peer is like green technology. It's clean. You have resources that you pay for, and you share them with everyone. If 100 people are on the same network, on the same ISP as yours, the connections will remain on the network. That's cheap. That's efficient. If 100 people want to all go to mega upload, it's outbound connection that go to Hong Kong. That's transit. That's expensive communications. And that's, in the end, a massively centralized architecture that costs shitloads of money. Therefore, they make you pay. And they make you pay with tax evasion. So you generate behaviors of corporations, basically structured like mafias that pollute the network, instead of the green technology. And this is a direct effect of Adobe. So I think this is really a message we need to get through. Sharing is good. On a moral, on an ethical, on an economical perspective, but also on a technical perspective of the networks. The use of peer-to-peer protocols should in any case be promoted over those stupid streaming and direct download website. And in that regard, Adobe really, really doesn't help. But I share your view that I usually don't even take so long to talk about it because I think it's so much a thing of the past already. Adobe is prehistory. What matters now is that they stopped going on one people after the other and doing the infringement on the level of people. ACTA is already the graduated response 2.0, where they stop going after the people but go after the intermediaries that will go after the people. This is even more dangerous, and we're there right now.
Una última pregunta. ¿No?
Sí.
Sí. Bueno, pues nada, agradecer a Jeremy y un aplauso.